All right, so we'll say good evening. Good evening. Let us begin. So exciting night tonight. It's from new malacha, and it's actually going to be a very exciting shiur because we're going to go through the entire malacha. It's going to be a self-contained. And I was already smirking at me. Yes, I've said this many times, apparently. No, but this is it. This is going to be a self-contained shiur. We're doing all the malacha of Zohar, Miras Hashem, winnowing. So let's begin. Source number one. Avos malacha osabarim chasracha. So I'll say the great part about this chabura is it's the first source is very predictable. It's going to be the same first source, Miras Hashem, until we finish Lamates Malachos, which is the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph that goes through the list of Malachos. So we'll say, I just also will point out that it's exciting, you know, that kind of every shir we could look at that we're getting a little bit further, right? So we've done already Zorea, Choresh, Kotzer, Ma'amer. Now, if you notice, I am going a little bit out of order. The next Malach is Dosh. We're actually skipping to Zora. Zora literally means winnowing. The reason we're skipping is because I really want to do Dush and Borer, Dush, Borer, Merakid, but really more Dush and Borer together as a unit. So I don't want to use Lashon of get Zora out of the way, Chas Shalom. But I want to, Zora is a much shorter self-contained malacha, so we'll do it first. So what's Zora? So again, I just want to point out, we'll see again, so the literal English translation is winnowing. Rashi says, Zora, Barachas, Luruach. So ultimately, again, Rabbi say we're going to see that what is the malacha of Zora? So interestingly enough, remember, you have a pile of wheat. You've threshed the wheat. The point of threshing the wheat, we're going to see, is to go ahead and begin the process of separating the wheat from the chaff. That process of separating what we will later on call ochel from psolas, right? Parts that are consumable from the parts that are not consumable. That is a multi-stage and a multi-step process. Multiple parts, right? If anyone needs sheets, I don't know if they're Ramakomos on the Bima, but there's plenty. They're on Bima also? Okay, perfect. If they're not here, they're also plenty up front.
Is the root of the word psolas possible?
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing, correct. The part you don't want. So we're going to see that there, in the agricultural process, there are actually multiple parts associated with separating the wheat from the chaff. So dash, threshing, is going to be the first part. The process of Zora is a very simple idea. You take, like the classical way that you would have done it is you take a winnowing fork, right, or a pitchfork. You go ahead and you plunge it into the wheat. You throw the thing of wheat up into the air. And again, the wind itself separates out the chaff. The chaff is lighter than the wheat, so the psoles is lighter than the ochal, so you throw it up in the air, and the wind pretty much does the job of separating out the wheat from the chaff. That's what Rashi says over here, barachas l'ruach. The malacha of Zora is separating out, so the parts you don't want from the parts that you do want, with the assistance of wind. Again, we'll drill down on that a little bit more. So the Gemara number 3 asks a very interesting question. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Hazora borer tochin merakid, hainu zora, hainu borer, hainu merakid. And I will say, again, this will make a little bit more sense as we go on, but when you look at the list of malachos, they appear to be incredibly repetitive. Remember again, zora winnowing, bora separating, merakid sifting. It's all the same malacha. All of them are just different ways to go ahead and separate out ochal from psolas, to separate what you do, or I should say, to separate the psolas, what you don't want, and to have what you do want remain. So the Gemara is asking, again, why would you have, how does it make sense to have three malachos that are effectively the same thing? So the Gemara says, it's actually a very interesting answer. The Gemara says, you're right, they are the same thing. In essence, they're the same thing. But Abayev Rav Darmi Tarabayu, kol milsa dehaviv mishkan, afa gav di'ika dedamulei chashivla. So the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. And the answer the Gemara gives is, listen, where do malachos come from, right? Where do lamites malachos come from? Where do they come from? The Mishkan. So really, anything that was done in the Mishkan, and again, I didn't mention it outside this time, but we all know, again, where was Zora done in the Mishkan? So that's always the same answer, right, for now, right? Either, again, for the herbs, right? Again, for the different plants that they made the dyes from. That's Rashi's answer. Or again, the lechem aparim, showbread. Fine. So therefore, the Gemara says over here, you're right. It turns out that Zora, Borer, and Merakid are all the same thing. But all three of them were done on the Mishkan. So because all three of them were done on the Mishkan, therefore, halacha l'maisa, they are reckoned as three separate malachas. Three separate malachas. Okay. That was just an interesting idea. We'll come back to that concept in just a little bit. So Rashi says over here, Hainu, So again, just Rashi explains the Gemara a little bit more. Rashi says, you know, the Tana of our Mishnah splits these three malachas into, or splits these three things into three distinct malachas. V'halo, kulon malacha achasin, demafrish olcham in apsolas. Again, so Rashi just explaining the Gemara's kasha. It's all the same thing. You're separating out ochel from psolas. So why do you need three separate times? Again, to which the Gemara answers, you're right. This is actually going to be very important as we go on. So in reality, Zoreh, Bora, and Merakeid are really all the same thing. Right? Truth is, Dash is also the same thing. Dash is also the same thing. But again, because in the agricultural process, each of these things was done separately, each of them represent a different way to separate ochel from psolas. Therefore, they are reckoned as separate malachos. Okay, good. Yeah. Right, except they're all avos.
I'm saying that's obviously the reason.
Right, I'm saying because
the reason for that.
No, because the reason you can't do that is because that's kind of what Gemara is saying, is because they were all done. Right. In other words, a tolda. Oh right, I got it. Right. That would have worked. That would have worked if the Mishnah would have counted them, right? But not necessarily. But they wouldn't have occurred. The interesting part over here is in the agricultural process, you're actually doing this process of separation at four distinct intervals. And even though they're all the same malacha, which is incredibly unique, so I'll say it is interesting to point out that out of the 39 malachas, you know, you have Zoreh, Choresh. Dash, Dash, Zoreh, Bora, and Merakeid. So it is interesting to see that four out of the 39 are actually the same halacha. The same halacha, just done in different ways. Okay, in number five, the Rambam writes, Hazora el ohaborer kigro geras chayiv. So we'll say this Rambam is important. Why? Because Rambam here gives the shear. Remember again, every halacha has a shear. Every halacha has an amount that you have to go ahead and do in order to transgress. So how much winnowing do you have to do in order to be in violation of the halacha? Kigro geras, the size of a dried fig. So you'd have to winnow the amount of food, the amount of produce, the size of a dried fig. If you look at the last two lines in the Rambam, middle of that second line, he just restates again what the Gemara said before. Shazora, v'haborer, v'hamarakit, domen, inyonim, zeloze. All of these malachas seem to be the same. Umipnei ma manu osa mishlosha, mipnei shakom malacha shaisa b'mishkan, monin osa bifnei atzma. So the Rambam gives, Rambam just codifies the answer given by Abaye and Rava in number three. That even though, again, they are all the same malacha, since they were each distinctly done in the Mishkan, therefore they are reckoned separately. And I will say, if you take a look, I'm just going to go out of order for just a second. The Nishmas Adam in number seven writes, shayach rak legidulei karka. So first of all, this is actually important. Right? So again, the malach of Zorah only applies to things that grow from the ground. Now, obviously, again, you already know what we're going to get into, although we're not going to see this as much by Zorah. We'll see it by Dosh and by Bor and by Merakeid, that ultimately, that although Midoraisa, they only apply to Gidulei Karka, to things that grow from the ground, Midrabanan, there may be certain additional prohibitions. But we'll leave that for now. Point of this, what Adam is saying is, Merakeid only applies to Gidulei Karka, things that grow from the ground. We're going to come back to that in a very interesting application in just a little bit. Now, we'll say, perhaps one of the most interesting machloksim when it comes to Zorah, and look, I'm going to be honest, I don't know that Zorah is of the most riveting of the malachas, although we are going to see some pretty incredible stuff in just a little bit. But one of the interesting machloksim that comes up is as follows. Take a look at number six. The Tal Oros writes as follows. He says, V'da, Deleka chiyuva de Zora, ela dafka ki haigavna, shema'avir sapsolas al yidei haruach. So also, this is interesting. Tal Oro says that the malacha of Zora is only when utilizing wind as the vehicle of separation. Right? The vehicle of separation has the dafka be done with the wind? Because again, they will say just on the most basic level, that's how it was done agriculturally. Okay, so we'll say, so. And by the way, I just want to point out, lav dafka's Rashi, right? Because Rashi is just describing how Zorah was done. Rashi is not necessarily commenting on the parameters of the malacha, right? How remember, this Mishnah is talking about the malachos as they were done in the Mishkan. So the malacha done in the Mishkan, again, in the agricultural sense, was done. The reason why I'm saying, you'll see why I'm saying that before, because we'll see where Rashi falls into this. But the Tal Oros writes again, halacha lamaisa omi chayiv Zorah if done with the wind. Rabbeinu Chananel writes over here something very interesting. In number eight, V'nipuch ba beruach piv uberer chashefu gezora. So I'll say, what happens if you have something in your hands and you blow on it? And I'll say, the classic case that's given by the poskim, interestingly enough, is if you have peanuts, right? So you know, like, when you open up peanut from a shell, you have, like, that brown stuff on it. I don't know what the, what is it called? What is it? A membrane?
It is a membrane.
That's what it's called? That's the technical? Peanut membrane. Okay, fantastic. Doesn't sound very appetizing, though. All right, I guess you're not supposed to eat it. So the interesting part would be, what about taking something and blowing on it? Blowing. So in other words, I'm not utilizing the wind, but essentially what I'm doing is I'm winnowing with my breath, right? I'm winnowing by blowing on it. So it's interesting. The Tal Oros would say, that's not Zora. Zora dafka is with wind, is with ruach. That's how it's done in the Mishkan, and that's the malacha. Rabbi Nochanan says, no, not necessarily. Or he says, no, I'm sorry. He says, halacha l'maisa, it's Zora even if you blow with your mouth, right? Even if you what's the word?
Blow on it.
Ultimately, again, that is going to be called Zora's also. So a very interesting machlokes. Again, I don't know that it's so shaykh that people hold stuff in their hands and blow on it. But lamaisa, again, technically speaking, you have an item that is gidule karka. It has some stuff mixed in with it. You know enough. Yes.
Well, he might be saying that's true if there's kind of both involved that you're outside, so you're using your mouth with the wind. Then you know.
No. It's not what he says. He says again ubir. Right. He says v'niva ba ruach piv. Ruach piv ubir. Why would you say that? I hear, but that's not what he's saying.
What?
But in other words, what would be the havamina there? If there's wind, so what I'm doing or not doing doesn't make any difference.
Normally the wind is the only catalyst.
That it's a messiah? No, that's not what he's saying. I mean, I think it's a great idea, but it's wrong. Because this is brought down as the machlokas rishonim on this, right? That dafka, not misaya. We'll see some cases of misaya in just a little bit. So Leib is getting a little bit ahead of us. And we'll get that. Yeah.
Okay, so this is not talking about blowing in general.
Let's get in. Here we go. So we have a fundamental machlokes over here, between, again, Tal Oros and Rabbeinu Chanan. Tal Oros, it's only Zorea. Zora. Only Zora if it's the wind. Rabbeinu Chanan, even if you're blowing on it with your mouth. Okay, so now watch this. So one more maramakam on this. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in number 9, and the truth is we don't really have to go through the entire Aruch HaShulchan. But if you skip down to the end, the last line, I don't know if I underlined it on your sheets. Good. So Aruch HaShulchan writes again, not to say that the previous part is unimportant, but just look at the last. Ulenafeach befiv nira devadai mutar. So I just want to point out that again, the Aruch HaShulchan himself aligns himself with the Tal Oros, that to blow on something with your mouth is totally mutar. Now, let me go back to Leib's point for just a moment. It appears that the poskim hold that when you have, you know, what Leib was describing before of like blowing together with the wind, it's like a misayeya. The halacha seems to say if there's wind involved, it's wind. It's wind. In other words, we don't get into, is it the wind that's doing it? Is your breath that's doing it? As long as there's what, the halacha actually said, like a ruach metsuya, just like a regular wind, which we assume exists on a general day, that's Zora. Everybody's going to agree in that case. You don't even have to get into Misayeh or anything like that. So again, the Aruch HaShulchan telling us that to blow on something with your mouth is absolutely mutter. So like according to the Aruch HaShulchan, you have your handful of peanuts, you have the membrane there, you just want to blow it off. I just want to point out, it's a big machlokes poskim, you're allowed to do that or not. So you have again, the Tal Oros would say yes, the Aruch HaShulchan would say yes, the Rabbeinu Chananel would say, Alright, so let's do a couple more cases. Number 10. V'lo b'shtei yadav. So again, I'm going a little bit out of order over here with the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, but you'll see why in just a moment. Number 10. He says, V'lo b'shtei yadav. Hainu l'dabik shtei yadav ka'achos. V'likach b'shneim ulenafeach. V'adin dimiyad liyad chaverta. Ein nachon l'das harambam. So we'll say, so over here, the Mishnah Berurah seems to indicate that the idea over here is as follows, that to go ahead and, we'll see, but to go ahead and let's say take something cupped in your hands, and to go ahead and blow on it, so the Mishnah Berurah says it's ideal not to do it. So what do you see from here? Something very interesting, which is the Mishnah Berurah himself seems to be machmir in accordance with the position of the Rabbeinu Chananel, that even blowing on something with your mouth is going to be the malach of Zorah. Now, lav dafka, that's going to be the malach of Doraisa, right? But nevertheless, it's going to be a malach. He says, v'hu adin d'miyat liyat chavirta, ey nachon l'das rabam. He brings out something else over here, which is kind of like shifting things from one hand to another. As Rabbi said, what happens when you shift things from one hand to another? So in other words, here's what's interesting is, so first of all, often the psoles, whatever the psoles is, falls away. And we'll say in that case, essentially, what are you doing? To a certain degree, you're also creating your own wind. In other words, it could also be that there's like a third category. There's ruach, right? There's ruach piv. And there's, I guess, what you would call just like ruach created by motion, right? By motion, almost like a fanning. In other words, we'll say, here's what I want to point out. According to the Rabbeinu Chananel, who holds that blowing on something is a form of Zorah, it's not just blowing on something. It would be what else? Fanning it. In other words, what the Rabbeinu Chananel is adding on over here is that any type of created wind that is ultimately used to separate out impurities is a problem of Zorah. So in other words, on Shabbos, you have a fan that's running and you walk over again with your peanuts, right? And the peanuts blows away the membrane. So ultimately, again, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, that is going to be Zorah as well. He's just using Ruach Piv as an example. Yeah?
Isn't moving it with the hands more like sifting instead of Zorah?
We'll talk about that. The truth is, the idea of Merakid, really with sifting, usually involves a kli, not done by hand. That's why it's not calling it Merakid. Yeah, again, we're going to see there's a lot of overlap with these halachas as well. He's bringing it down as part of Zorah because it's almost like the created wind by going back and forth. So again, so we have this fundamental machlokas. The one case that everybody seems to agree with, number 11, Ela Menafe Biyado Achos Bechol Koko. So here's what you could do. Interestingly enough, so apparently throwing stuff up and down with one hand is not Zorah. Because the malacha of Zorah itself either is two hands or with a kli. But one hand is enough of a shinui, of a departure from the way this malacha is done to be doma to malacha at all. Okay, so again, before we turn the page, what we're looking at over here is really our fundamental machlokas as to whether or not Zorah only applies to wind, or does it create, or we'll call it natural wind, or does it go ahead and apply even to created wind as well? What are cases of created wind? Either number one, again, blowing on it with your mouth, right? Be fanning something, or for that matter, again, throwing it up and down or transferring it from hand to hand. But apparently going ahead and menafe biyado, one hand, enough of a shinui, not going to be the malacha. Okay, interesting. I will say, let me show you, number 12 is where it really gets quite fascinating. So the Ramah here quotes the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi writes as follows. Yerushalmi writes, Haga, listen to this. Harokek beruach b'shabis, varuach mefazer harok, chayev mishum zora. So we'll say, this is fascinating. If you spit on Shabbos and there's wind, ultimately, again, the wind is mefazer, the rok. It scatters the saliva. That's called Zorah, right? Spitting into the wind, spitting. And by the way, I just want to point out, remember, the malach of Zorah is when there's a ruach mitzuya. When do we assume there's a ruach mitzuya? Always. In other words, the concept in halacha that there's just a common wind always applies. That's why it's called the ruach mitzuya, right? It's called mitzuya because it's matzui. So the assumption always is that whenever you're walking around, there's a ruach mitzuya. So therefore, the Ramah over here quotes quotes the Yerushalmi. Ma'aril b'shem arzarua v'Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, you should not spit into the wind on Shabbos because the wind goes ahead and scatters the saliva, and this is called Zorah. I'm sorry. So obviously we have to be talking about a situation over here where there's no issue of Zorea, right? It's paved.
No, sir.
You
said it's only...
Oh, good. Hold on. Excellent. Hold on. Look at number 14. We're going out of order for just a moment. Number 14. So the Mishnah Berurah says, he writes, Well, actually, before we get to 14, I will say, so just to show you an interesting application of this Yerushalmi, take a look at number 13. So this is from the Rabbi Ribiat book. 39 Malachas, Zora. He writes, one should not shake out a tablecloth against the wind, thereby causing the crumbs to become dispersed by the force of the wind. So incredible. Incredible. So we'll say this is like pretty dramatic. Now, again, we'll see what the halacha l'maisa is. I just want to point out, he's quoting this when he gives this example. It's one of the examples he gives. He gives this in the section that speaks about the Yerushalmi that the Ramah just quoted. We have to see what we do with this Yerushalmi. But we'll say, but again, it's a real reimagination of the malacha of Zora, right? Because again, Zora, as it started out in the Mishkan, was wheat and chaff. The goal of the wind was to go ahead and separate out the wheat from the chaff. Suddenly now, again, what you have over here is the Yerushalmi taking a totally different turn and saying, any time you utilize wind to break apart something, to split apart something, that's called Zora. And therefore, spitting into the wind, shaking out the tablecloth, is going to be Zora. Yeah. Well, blowing on your hat or garment could be a potential different issue of malabing, of laundering. I guess it could apply. Anything that you're blowing into the wind, right? Anything that you're blowing to scatter it could potentially be that issue. But again, it's not gedulei karka. It doesn't grow from the ground, so it wouldn't be zora. Yeah, Chavra, give me like two. Let me just get through this piece, then I'll take your question. So we'll say. So let's go a little bit weiter. So Mishnah Berurah is number 14. So okay, so here now we have the Yerushalmi. Take a look now at the Mishnah Berurah number 14. Mefazer harok v'lo ra'inu mishechoshesh lazeh. Okay, so that's why again we calm down a little bit about the Yerushalmi. Right, the Mishnah Berurah says no one holds like this. Kevan de'eno miskaven lakach. So far as it says, because again, somebody spitting into the wind, what's their kavana? Right? We'll see that in the Mishnah. Again, on a more basic level, just again, the idea is to just expel saliva. I don't have any kavana to separate out to anything like that in the wind. The koshakin de'in ze derech zora. See, koshabi kiva eger, this is not zora. Now, what does that mean? This is not the derech of zora. What does that mean? It doesn't resemble the malacha at all. Why not? Rabbi say, remember again, Zora is in what family? The Dosh family, right? Dosh, Borer. It's taking two items that are mixed together and separating them. That's the Ikra Malacha. This does not have any signs of that, right? This does not have any similarity to that. So therefore, Allah Almighty, the Mishnah Berurah says, what we're not doing tonight is there is a whole svara for the Yerushalmi, right? So the Yerushalmi, again, didn't just make up this concept. There's a whole piece with the Arzarua. Again, we're not really going to get into the lumdus of it, but suffice to say, Mishnah Berurah says, nobody holds like this. Okay, now watch the Be'er Halacha number 15. So this is actually quite interesting over here. So the Be'er Halacha quotes Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So if you notice again, Mishnah Berurah number 14 quotes Chidush Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and the Be'er Halacha gets a little bit more into this. This is actually a really interesting Be'er Halacha. He writes, B'tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Simin Chav, Nistapek, B'shofech Mayim Mu'atim Mitzluchis Derech Chalom. So we'll say, Rabbi Akiva Eiger deals in the following situation. Let's say, I have some water that I want to pour out. Again, assuming that we're not going to run into a Zorea issue like we learned about before. So I just want to lean out my window and go ahead and pour out some water outside. So am I allowed to do that or not? V'aruach Mefazer HaTipos, Echad lekan, v'echad pona lekan, ichay mishum zora. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger deals with this shayla. I want to pour some water out of my window, and the wind is going to scatter the droplets in different directions. Am I allowed? Is that the malach of zora or not? So he writes, v'hela, letzadet harbe lahakel, midi yishmitu haposkan Yerushalmi, shmamino, delosir lekein. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, look, we all know the Yerushalmi, right? Yerushalmi says, this is zora. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, but no one quotes the Yerushalmi. No one quotes it. In other words, I will say, it's not codified in the Rambam. It's not codified in the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah quotes it. The Ramah is the one halachic codifier who quotes it, who brings it up. Right? So he goes there and he says, Ela de melecha zorahu came borer, de mevarer psolas mitoch ochel. So again, I will say, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, because again, it's not, you can't, how can you tell me that this is Zora? Zora, I will say, is in the Dosh family, the Borer family, the Merakid family. That ultimately, again, what does it mean? You have a mixture and you want to separate out Ochel from Psoles. That's Zores. But in this case, you're utilizing the wind, or maybe even more, utilizing your breath, or utilizing movement, right? Or a fan. Aval Bekulo Psoles and Ochai Mishum Zora. I will say, but if it's all Psoles, so what does it mean when he says it's all Psoles? What does that mean? Or is you're pouring out the water. Right. In other words, obviously, you're pregnant, right? You don't want the water. So for your purposes, all that water is psoles. Again, I must say, by the way, it doesn't matter if you call it all ochel or you call it all psoles. Either way, it's not zora. Why? Because there's no mixture. There's no mixture. If there's no mixture and there's not something you're looking to discard, something you're looking to keep, then lemaisa, that's not called zora. So he goes on. He says, va'af ledas harama yesh letzadeit dehu dafka berok. So I must say, so this is very interesting. Furthermore, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, this is all the Baruch Kuna Rabbi Kiva Eger. Furthermore, it could even be that if you want to be machmir like the Yerushalmi, maybe it's only with spit, with saliva. With saliva. Now why? And this goes to Zevi's point. He's like, look, watch this. Tikimo de'in disha uma'amer, ela bigidule karka, kein ein zora ela bigidule karka. Now again, remember, why does the saliva case even get off the ground? Besides the fact that there's no mixture, right, it can't really be called Zora. So saliva is not Gidulei Karka. So why are they talking about Zora? This is actually pretty wild. Va'adam nikra Gidulei Karka. A person is called Gidulei Karka. Now, we'll say, now this is interesting. Now, why would a person be called Gidulei Karka? Because since a person is nourished, this is not even like a deep esoteric idea that Adam comes from Adama. It's much more pashat. I mean, that's a good svara also, but it's much more pashat. We'll say, human beings are sustained. By the way, the Gemara has a Havamina like this also, that balechayim, that animals should be considered like gedulei karka, since they are nourished from the ground. There's this concept that when something is nourished from the ground, it has the din of gedulei karka. So this is actually pretty wild. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, it could very well be that even if you want to say that Zora applies in the Ramah's case, it's only because it's saliva. Saliva comes from a person. A person is Gidulei Karka, so maybe saliva has a din of Gidulei Karka, which is incredible. He says, Aval lo b'mayim, de lo havi Gidulei Karka. So they both say, this is interesting. But what doesn't it apply to? It won't apply to water, because water is not Gidulei Karka, which is fascinating. So it comes from a spring, but he'll say it's not created by the earth, right? Gidulei Karka is something created by the earth. The water, even though it's housed, again, I will say, I just want to point out, you have to appreciate the premise that the Be'er Halacha is coming from, right? The premise that Be'er Halacha is coming from, right, which is Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Mishnah Berurah, no one follows this Yerushalmi. He's just trying to figure out, but yet interest, and no one quotes it except the Ramah. So he's intrigued by why the Ramah brings it up, and maybe why the Ramah brings it up in the case of roke, right? In the case of saliva. Because maybe it's only in the case of saliva, because maybe saliva is a din of Gidulei Karka, but even Mayim doesn't have a din of Gidulei Karka, and therefore no Zora applies to it. Avalo b'mayim, delo havi Gidulei Karka, va'od, delo nechale, as Rabbi Eliezer was saying before, delo nechale, upsik resh, delo nechale, yesh matirim. So therefore I will say, what comes out over here is as follows, that you see a very interesting machlokas over here about this Yerushalmi. So essentially, does Zora apply when you go out and you scatter something utilizing the wind, but I'm not separating anything? Right? I'm not separating anything. Now, what I want to point out is as follows. To be clear, remember, there's no Zora if it's not Gidulei Karka. So everyone agrees you need the Gidulei Karka piece. So the Shaila is it called Zora if you're not separating out different components, but you're just using the wind to scatter something? So that's why, going back to number 13, and third Amalach, he brings up this case of shaking out your tablecloth. They'll say, what are you doing when you shake out the tablecloth? What's the goal? To scatter the crumbs, right? That's what I'm doing. I'm using the wind, both created by the shaking of the tablecloth and whatever wind exists outside, right, to go ahead and disperse any schmutz that accumulate. That is the goal. So according to the Yerushalmi, and again, assuming food items are going to be Gedulei Karka also, right? So therefore, again, according to the Yerushalmi, that would be the Malacha of Zora. So I will say, so just, now again, I don't know that I know anyone who's Machmir on this. I mean, I think many people could definitely begin relying on this, not to have to shake out the tablecloth, you know, after, you know, your wife asks you to shake out the tablecloth, you know, I would, but, you know, I'm really trying hard to work on myself. And this week, I'm Makamas, I'll be better in Zora. That's my new Kabbalah. So I'll say, but again, so I don't know, I've never seen anyone that's Machmir on this. But again, should you run into someone who is Machmir on this, again, it's based on the Yerushalmi. Good. So I'll say, take a look. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav in number 16 essentially espouses the same idea as Rabbi Akiva Eger, as the Ber Halacha, as the Mishnah Berurah number 16. He says, V'chein, Yochom in HaTorah, Lefarer V'Lizros L'Ruach, V'lo Amru Shazorah Hu Me'avos Molochos, Ela B'Zorah Tevua, Kedei LaHafrish B'Mino Es Hamotz, Shu Borer Ochel Mitoch Psola. So what's here? Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, it's only called Zorah if you have a mixture of items. And you are utilizing the wind. Again, whether you're creating your own wind or you're utilizing natural wind to separate out components. I says, Aval, kishazora ko ochel ruach, ein kan iser min haTorah. However, again, if you're just utilizing wind to scatter stuff, but it's scattering without separation, Shulchan Aruch HaRav paskins that halacha lemaisa, that is not going to be a problem of Zorah. Okay, Chevra, whoever who had questions before we went on, did I answer them? Yeah?
So the peanut.
Yes.
So peanuts crack molding that the membrane, you know, sitting there.
Yeah.
And if you don't, it's a windy day. You shouldn't hold your hand out.
That is correct. Nor should you go ahead and blow on it in order to go ahead and blow away the shells. Because, again, I will say, actually, I thank you for bringing this up again. We are generally machmir, like the opinions that say that Zorah is not just with wind, with natural wind, but Zorah will be even with you blowing on it or with a fan or with anything else. So in the peanut case, and you can have this, you can see this case come up like with nuts, right? Peanuts aren't the only things that have like, whatever kind of nuts you have, so you just want to get rid of the membranes or whatever, the psolas, you can't blow on it. That would be the malacha of Zorah. Shabbos, there's one more interesting application of this discussion, which is actually quite fascinating. If you take a look at number 17, so the Minchas Yitzchok writes as follows. Like here, I'll just quote to you the tshuva over here, and then we'll see the mechanics. It says, Be'inyan pizur samemonim, perfume b'shabbos. So Shabbos, essentially what he's asking over here is about, he says, Ayidei lechitza bepekak sheberosh habakbuk spray. Right? So we'll say, so he says aerosol cans. Aerosol. So the shaila is, use of an aerosol can, is that a problem of Zorah? Because essentially, again, you're kind of taking something and you're scattering it into the world. Is that a problem? So the Minchas Yitzchok actually has a very long tshuva on this. I just quoted one line, which is his conclusion. So the Minchas Yitzchok says there's no Zorah. Now I will say, now why not? Take a look at number 18. So once again, in the 39 Malachas Sefer, he has a very nice discussion about this. He says as follows. He says, common aerosol spray dispensers, such as those commonly used for hairsprays, deodorants, room fresheners, operate by the use of certain propellants that are sealed inside the container with the liquid spray product under pressure. Depressing the push button on the valve releases pressure, thereby forcing the liquid up a tube and through the valve. Again, I don't know if the picture came out clearly enough that you can see all the different pieces there. The liquid turns into a spray mist as it is released from the nozzle, the Igros Moshe. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. Rav Moshe doesn't have a tshuva on this. There's not a tshuva in Igros Moshe. This tshuva is actually quoted, you know, Rabbi Shimon Eider has a book, Hilchos Shabbos, Halachos of Shabbos, and in the back of it, he has like a number of things that he learned from Rav Moshe. So that's where this is quoted from. It's interesting, it doesn't appear in Igros Moshe. Okay. See, Igros Moshe permits the use of aerosol cans on Shabbos, because the scattering is not caused directly by blowing or wind force, but rather by the pressure of the liquid as it is forced through the microconduits in the nozzle head. So I'll say, isn't that fascinating? Again, which I will say, it makes sense. Zorah, the malacha is only Zorah when there's wind. It could be natural wind, it could be wind created by my mouth, but it's got to be wind. Rav Moshe says, it's not a wind force that ultimately creates the spray. The pressure of the liquid as it is forced through the micro conduits in the nozzle head. Incredible. Since the scattering is not directly caused by wind, it is not similar to Zohra and is therefore permissible. So we'll say, so that's an important halacha l'maisa piece, that again, a person wants to use an aerosol can, an aerosol can on Shabbos, not a problem of Zohra. He does put even in here on the note that perfume and deodorant sprays may only be applied to one's skin, not to one's clothing. So we'll say, so again, we actually, I think we learned this in Smichas Chavar. I think we covered it. I don't remember. Most I said the idea of molid reach, the idea of creating scent in clothing. It's a whole discussion again. Exactly what that is it makhe bepatish? Is it potentially binyan bekelim? Whatever it is, but you're not allowed to. It's actually very important. Most I said, let's say a person wants to, you know, put on some type of perfume or what was it? Cologne. Thank you. You know, right? So deodorant you normally apply on skin. Let's say a person has like a body spray or something. You can't like put that on your undershirt, right? You can't put that on clothing that only goes on your skin. But again, different topics. So both says, interestingly enough, and I'm not aware of anyone who is cholik on this aerosol can sock. Yes.
So this would be the same for being in the case of a clone, spraying something that doesn't use aerosol, but just creates a mist of itself.
Oh, like a perfume pump.
Yes.
Yeah. Same idea. In other words, correct. He's only bringing up aerosol cans because yeah.
You that
no, because the assumption is when you're going ahead and you're shaking out your tablecloth, stuff that is firmly embedded is not coming off. The only time you get into a potential issue of malabane is like when something is adheres and like you really have to scratch it off.
If you blow on that, you're assuming that whatever's going to come loose is loose enough to come loose by air as opposed to force.
I'll say, okay, that could work. Okay, true. That could be fine. That could be fine. If it's loose enough that it just comes off easily, then you're correct. It is malabane. It would not be malabane. Correct. Yes.
How is there someone as a nopel in the tablecloth case? It's just all...
Correct. Remember, that's why I brought it up in the context of the Yerushalmi. Right, the tablecloth case is only a problem according to the Yerushalmi, right? And that's why, again, thank you for bringing this up. I just want to be clear. The example on the tablecloth, the number 13, that's why Dafka put it over here by the Yerushalmi. This is if you subscribe to the Yisod of the Yerushalmi, that there is a concept of Zohra, even without a mixture of Ocham Psalms, but rather the Malacha of Zohra could even be having something Dafka scattered by the wind. That's where the tablecloth comes up. And that's why, again, Alocha L'maisa, it would appear for our purposes, the tablecloth doesn't really go ahead and cause any problems. So therefore, Bosai, that, so now just to kind of bring everything together, Bosai, I did it. Ari Lechtman, who was laughing at me before, right? Right? So again, so that is the entire, I mean, there's a lot more lumdis in Zohra, but I will say, but this is what we're going to cover in this Malacha. So again, to kind of bring it all together, the major machloksim to continue to keep in mind is, again, definition of Malacha, everybody's pretty much on the same page about. Shir, no one argues, grogeres. Why repetitive Malachas? That's what was done in the Mishkan. Fundamental machlokas, number one, is does Zohra only apply with wind, or does it apply even by blowing or by fans? So both say, so that's machlokas number one. What do we do in that machlokas? General consensus is, we're machmir. So therefore, the malacha of Zohra will not only apply with natural wind, but will also apply if you blow on something as well. So again, yes.
Okay, so the aerosol, when you're dealing with spray foams,
spray foams are going to be a little bit different. Going to be a little bit different because the whipped cream cases. Yeah. So let's save that for a different time because they're already again. That could be a potential nolud case or molid case where you're creating something yeah. new. So the idea of taking a liquid and turning it into a mist is not considered to be a nolud case. But okay, we'll get to those as well. So we'll see, that's machlokas number one. Ultimately, again, is it wind or is it any type of blowing? Machmir, any type of blowing. That's machlokas one. Machlokas two, Rabosai. Machlokas two is the Yerushalmi and pretty much the rest of the world. Right, so again, it's not just Yerushalmi or Zarua. Does the Malacha of Zohra only apply when you have a mixture? Or can it apply even to a non-mixture that you are dafka scattering into the wind? Yerushalmi, even a non-mixture that you're using to scatter into the wind, so you can't spit into the wind if the wind is going to spit apart the saliva. You can't shake out the tablecloth if the wind is going to scatter the crumbs. But we saw the Mishnah Berurah, Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Ber Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, all who paskin that there is no need to be concerned for this. At most, maybe, in the case of saliva, but even then, that was more of a kibeger trying to understand where the Yerushalmi was coming from, but there's no need to be machmir with this. And we'll say, lastly, Min Chasitzah, Ramosha, both paskin that Halacha Lamaisa, there is no Zore issue with aerosol cans. Why not? Because it's not the wind that is producing that mist, but rather, again, it's the mechanics inside of the air, inside of the cans themselves that are creating the mist that goes forth. Everybody will say, Shkoyach. All right, next week, coming attractions. So what was this? So now, by the way, next week is where things begin to really get very exciting, because we're going to start again with the Malachos of Dash, Borer, Meraki. So there we're gonna spend some good amount of time in those malachas. Shkoyach, Avra. Shkoyach.
Great promise. Add up to a desire.